Blog Talk Radio.
This is Getting It Done with your host, Dr. Walter Dean. Merry Christmas. Kurt Whalum. Yes, this is Christmas. Not just Christmas Eve, it is Christmas. And most often we don't know and don't understand why we celebrate Christmas. I was brought up in a family that knew why we celebrated Christmas. It's because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas to you, and from all persons connected with Getting It Done, good afternoon. I am Dr. Walter Dean, and I am your host. And Christmas is that time of year for giving, because God gave us his most precious gift. Yes, he did. And that was his only begotten son, Jesus. In my family, my grandmother on my mother's side was born on Christmas Day, as we know Christmas Day to be. And I have a cousin named Urban who was born just a little bit before Christmas. And there were gifts from God to our family, both of them. This is really not the day of our Savior. It is the day, but it's not the day that really Jesus was born. And that's one of the things that we're going to find out about. Because mankind decided that this is going to be the day that it is celebrated. But it was identified by, and rightly so, that a day was given, because back in the day when it was first assigned, no one actually knew what that date was. So some of the people who are going to be listening to today are going to be talking about who is Jesus. Let's give a listen.
Two 2,000 years ago, a child was born who would grow up to change the world. His name was Jesus. Many people claim him as their king, Lord, and Savior. Some claim he was just a famous historical figure or didn't even exist. But what's so special about this child? Was he royalty? What's so fascinating about the birth of Jesus? Is it that he wasn't born in a palace or delivered with the help of servants? The reality is that he was born in a feeding trough in a stable. By human standards, this was not a royal family. And to make matters stranger, his mother claimed to be a virgin. Surely this can't be true. Yet this is what was recorded to have taken place. The prophet Isaiah wrote that such an event would take place, as it was written, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." What's more interesting is the meaning of the name Emmanuel. It means God with us. What does this say about the one just born? Who is he? During the time leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus has a very intriguing conversation with his disciples. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." The question Jesus asked was one that focused on what others thought of him outside of his disciples. The answers he received are interesting, but all of the answers seem to indicate that people thought he was a prophet. Notice the next part. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Jesus made the question personal. He asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Jesus validates Peter's answer as correct, but not based on what others said, but on what was revealed by his Father in heaven. Jesus' identity and purpose was revealed long before he was born into the world, revealed by God through the scriptures. And today, if anyone is wanting to know who Jesus is, the same answer can be found in the Bible. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." If you continue the passage, which is 12 verses, it comes to a final statement. "Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." This passage describes a man who was rejected by the people and whose death will pardon their sins. This text perfectly predicts the mission of Jesus through his death on the cross. Another intriguing passage is one that comes from the book of Daniel that uses the title that Jesus commonly referred to himself as the Son of Man. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed." The imagery here is describing the one that Daniel calls the Son of Man as the one who has authority. In fact, he is given all authority over all creation. This ruling position of the Son of Man is often associated with God. Why would Jesus have so much authority? A passage found, once again, in the book of Isaiah is one that is most revealing of who Jesus is supposed to be. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Once again in this passage, we see the amazing authority given to this coming child. However, the names that are given to him should catch special attention. Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Is this scripture saying that God will be born as a child? This is exactly what the scriptures are saying, and that is exactly what the story of Jesus is claiming to have fulfilled through him. According to the scriptures, 2,000 years ago, a child was born of a virgin who would be given as a sacrifice to die for the sins of mankind. and his true identity was God himself, who has all authority over all creation. Peter believed that Jesus was truly the Christ, the Son of the living God. And to this day, Jesus extends the same question to you that he asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am?
That was the first of presentations that are going to be made today. That one was connected with the identification, Christ child, who was Jesus. And what's so extremely interesting and important about that is the feeling that Jesus was born in a manger. And the lowest kind of place where a person could be born. And the other thing is, why would a king be born in such a place? Why would there were so many questions? There's just so many that one could never really answer all of the questions related to who he was and who he is and why he was born, where he was born, why these are all things that aren't written and can be explained and will be explained in due time. Let me see if I can pull up something else about Jesus. Okay, let's go on from here. The dictionary says, and the Bible says, Jesus is also called Jesus Christ, Jesus of Galilee, or Jesus of Nazareth. And he was born in 604 B.C. in Bethlehem, and he died A.D. In Jerusalem. And his ministry didn't start until he was 30 years old. A religious leader reversed in Christianity, one of the world's most major religions, and he is regarded by most, which actually the founding of the whole Christian religion, or just the Christian faith, as in the reincarnation of God, and that was Jesus Christ. Now, the Wikipedia says he died when he was 33 years old, and actually he was a first century Jewish preacher and religious leader. If you look at that particular segment of what the computer dictionary says, it does not say that he was the Son of God. But they do talk about his mother and who was his earthly father. They do go into a lot of these things about what he supposedly had done as a preacher and as a religious leader. And going even one step further, if we ask another question about who was Jesus, we can go even further and say that Jesus was the Messiah, Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified for the sins of humanity. Now, where those sins come from, and that's another story, but I'm not going to get into that today, mainly because I don't have a lot of time to do that. According to the gospel, Jesus was born around 4 BC and was able to perform supernatural feats such as healing a wide range of diseases by simply touching people or speaking to them. He supposedly also had the ability to walk on water, instantly create vast amounts of fish and bread, resurrender the dead, or re-resurrect the dead. And the stories told about him have led many scholars to explore these questions. What was Jesus really like? Did he really exist? Today, many of the supernatural feats Jesus is reported to have performed are regarded by scientists as impossible to do. Is that interesting? Well, let's go on. I don't want to get caught up in some stuff that I don't really know what I'm talking about, so I'm just making sure that I'm saying those things that I do know for a fact. The Gospel of Matthew and Luke claim that Jesus was born in Bethlehem to Mary, who was a virgin. The year of Jesus' birth is debated by scholars who generally place it sometime between 7 BC and 1 BC. The tradition of Jesus being born on December the 25th did not come about until centuries later, and scholars generally agreed that he was born or not born on that day. Pagan roots, surprising facts about Christmas. This is a whole thing that came about paganism, and not really. There's more discussion about Santa Claus than in a lot of places than what you might believe about Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Matthew talks about how a word sometimes translated as wise men, the Magi, came from the east, followed the star of Bethlehem, which some scientists have speculated could be a comet or the planet Venus that gave baby Jesus presents of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And those are things are in the Bible, and now for a fact that they're in some written documentation in other books besides just that. What's so very interesting that Herod the king was engaged when he heard of Jesus' birth and ordered him to be found and executed, at one point ordering every boy in Bethlehem who was 2 years or younger to be killed and slaughtered. They were just slaughtered. And Jesus and his family escaped by fleeing to Egypt in Africa and not returned until after Herod's death, the gospel says. And today, scholars are doubtful that Herod tried to kill Jesus, noting that there is no evidence outside of the Bible that Herod was aware of Jesus. Now, that's outside of the Bible. However, there were slaughters of children, and if you go to the Torah, you can see that the Torah says basically the same as the Bible. The gospel tells us how Jesus grew up in Nazareth with his mother, Mary, her husband, Joseph, and Jesus. He had brothers and his sisters. And the gospel stories tell how a man named John the Baptist foretold the coming of Jesus and baptized people who were seeking forgiveness for their sins. Now, I don't plan on staying on this show for a long time, but I wanted to give a gift of the knowledge of Jesus Christ to my listeners. And the Gospel of Mark claims that Jesus worked as a carpenter, and when he was old enough, and that there was something of a wrath between Jesus and his family. And the Gospel claims that when Jesus returned to Nazareth after he was away, he was not well received. We know that if we know about what happened on Palm Sunday. We know about how he acted in the temple when he saw the people using the temple as a place to deal with money and things like that. The gospel also claims that when Jesus returned to Nazareth, like I said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. Jesus said in Mark 6 to the 4th to the 8th, archaeologist sites that Jesus may have visited. And so most people don't understand that Jesus was not born really on the 25th. He was born in March or April. That is the time when the animals, the sheep, are out in the fields. And the reason why the sheep herders are out there, because the sheep, that's when, the only time in the year that they give birth. And that's why the sheep herders had to be available to watch out for their safety, because when that's when sheep are very vulnerable and can be killed by wolves or bears or other animals as prey. And sheep are very helpless. Scholars really agree that Jesus did not devote himself to his ministry until he was about 30 years of old, of years of age. And this is based on the sequence of events told in the Bible, which suggests that Jesus had not been ministering for a long time before he was crucified. And that's to be a fact. Now, I think that me telling you these particular things are maybe things that you already know. A lot of people look at the various parts of Jesus' life, and many of them are well known. That's if you are in attached to reading the Bible with some level of understanding. If you're not, then you have a major problem. I'm going to see if I can pull up one more thing that I can tell you about, or have somebody else tell you about it. Let's see here. That's not going to happen, I guess. But what I find to be so remarkable and so different, I guess that's the most appropriate word, that today when we look at Jesus, we see so many pictures of what Jesus supposedly looked like. And we know for a fact that Jesus is not that white person that you see in churches. We know for a fact in the Bible it states what Jesus was going to look like. And if the Bible told all those other things about him which were true, that forecast about his coming and what he was going to do and how he was going to do the various things that he did, even to the tune of being told that he would eventually walk on water, as a matter of fact, that he would be crucified, he would die and then come back from the dead. All those things are indicated in the Bible. So the day we celebrate, the day that man decided that they were going to recognize Jesus Christ and then took their time to smother it with a way to deal with money. And that's one reason why I guess we were told that money is the root of all evil. Christmas trees, Santa Claus, sleigh ride, reindeer, all the shopping's done. The only good thing about that is we are trying to give a gift from our hearts. And that's the most positive thing that could happen, even though the day is incorrect on the birth of Jesus Christ. If we are giving of our hearts with love for the people who we are giving things to, then we are following in the steps of God. This has been Getting It Done. And I have been your host, Dr. Walter Dean. And hopefully you've enjoyed the show. And we will once again be broadcasting this coming weekend. Here we are on Friday, Monday, the show will be aired again at 5 o'clock. If you have comments that you'd like to make, you can email me by emailing docdean1212@gmail.com. Or if you can go on the computer and look up the show, Getting It Done, Dr. Walter Dean, host. And you should be able to pull up the show on what is on your computer. Most of the shows are kept on a computer, but you can still go online and we can converse about the things that I've talked about and the things that you might want to discuss. And if you'd like to be on the show, it would be my pleasure to have you on the show. This coming show will be not continuing with the religious component. We will go on and talk about other things that are happening in our society. So once again, those of you who are out there, Merry Christmas, and may the good Lord smile upon you and give you peace. This has been Getting It Done, and with your host, Dr. Walter Dean.